what basically ends up happening is he comes up with a force law that looks like this. After making all of those measurements, okay, so this is called Coulomb's law. And this is one of the 10-ish most important equations in this course. Okay? Coulomb's law, you've got charge 1, charge 2. You've got the radius, the distance, r, between the two of them, r sub 1, 2, squared. Okay? What does this look like by analogy? Does this have a structure of another equation that you've seen? It looks just like the law of gravity, except here you'd have m1, here you'd have m2, and here you'd have negative g. Otherwise, it's exactly the same. This k is a constant, okay, which is thankfully relatively easy to remember. So this is 9 times 10 to the 9 newton meters squared per coulomb squared. A coulomb is a unit of charge. Okay? And basically 1 coulomb is the amount of charge that passes in a conductor. So we have a wire. We haven't talked about electrical circuits, but just imagine that you have a wire. The charge that passes in 1 second, if what we call the current on that wire is 1 amp. Now you need to understand what an amp is. We'll talk about that later. But it's defined this way in terms of current to get a more precise definition. Oh, that's going to sound great. Okay, so this is K, and K also, in a little more fundamental level, equals 1 over 4 pi epsilon naught. I never write it that way because it's just a nuisance, but it's important to know, and this constant actually has a name called the permittivity constant. Okay? And this parameter is 8.85 times 10 to the 10 to the minus 12 coulomb squared per newton meters squared. Okay? And so, but I find this one easier to remember anyways, because there's no, you don't have to know many decimal places. So this is Coulomb's law. And it describes the force, if I have two charges, Q1 and Q2, I have some force, we can call it F12, between these two. Okay? A couple things to note, K is positive. In Newton's law, it's negative. What does this mean? Well, in Newton's law, gravity is always attractive. So the force is negative. It pulls things together. It reduces the distance. But in electromagnetism, it can be positive or negative. So K is negative. And now the product of the signs of Q1 and Q2 are what dictates whether it's attractive or repulsive. If the two charges are opposite each other, then you've got a positive times a negative, or a negative times a positive. You get a negative out, so it's attractive. If the two signs are positive or negative, both, then you get negative negative gives you a positive, the product of two negatives. Or positive positive gives you a positive. So that's how, you know, when this comes out to be a negative number, it's attractive, and positive, it's repulsive. Okay? So, and it's 1 over r squared, just like the law of gravity. And that number, the 2, the power here, has actually been tested to 16 orders of magnitude, 1 part in 16. So this is 2.016 zeros, and then some other number that's in the error, so the uncertainty. So this is a very well understood number. I think one of the things, now the thing about this that's important, I should have left my vector sign, this is the unit vector pointing in the direction from 1 to 2. So you want to get used to that. And the other thing is, this is a vector equation. So it's very important that you are familiar with vector addition, because otherwise you can't, you need to do it. There are some of the properties, like force, that are vectors. You need to know how to do vector addition. There are others that are scalars, like electric potential, that are not vectors, and you can just add them as scalars. But in this case, you have a vector. So if you had, for instance, several charges, Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4, then the force on 1 is going to equal F41 plus F31 plus F21 plus whatever other charges are out there. So it's just a superposition, but it's a vector sum. Okay? It's a vector sum. It's not a scalar sum. So this means that you've got to add the x and y components up separately. All right? Please look, remind yourself how to do that, because otherwise it's just going to make a mess. Okay? It's just, it can be a hassle, but you've got to know how to break these things down into their x and y components and then add them, and then you can, of course, if you just want to know the magnitude, you can put them back together. I will put a sheet in there just reminding you about vector addition. If you have any problems whatsoever, please ask me. One other thing I should say about the course is this is a calculus-based course. I will do integrals and differentials and things in class. Some of your homework problems will require you to do it, but I won't really require you to solve them in battle, essentially, on the quizzes and the tests. But you have to understand them and what they give, because the output of calculations we do in the class or in the book, examples and things, will be things that are tested on. So I didn't mention that earlier. So you do a vector sum. And the other aspect here that I want to mention is that you want to do force diagrams. All right? And if we take this here, we have Q1 here. And what you want to do is you want to say, well, what are the forces? What is the net force on Q1? Well, it's very useful, especially when you've got to decompose these things into their x and y components. It's very useful to draw the force diagram. So let's say that Q1 is negative, Q2 is positive, Q4 is negative, and Q3 is positive. Okay? So the force between Q1 and Q2, what direction is Q1 going to be pushed in? Upper left, bottom right? Bottom, but I've got Q1 here, it's negative. I think it is definitely bottom, but that force probably is going to be going more in the negative direction. The left direction. Okay? So, what about the force from between Q2 and Q1? Is that going to be going, these are pretty much on the same value of y. Is this going to be going left or right? Going to the right? Okay, because it's attractive. What about the force between Q1 and Q3? Up. Okay. So, that's kind of a mess. So what you would want to do is say, I got Q1 here, and here's my force diagram. I get Q3. So this is F31. This is F21. And then this is F41. Okay? And now, looking at this, you could say, I haven't drawn it precisely, but this is pretty much just has a y component. this pretty much just has an x component, and this has both components in the negative direction. Because I've got, you know, this is the y direction, and this is the x direction. Okay? So when I go to figure out what f1 is, well, f1, the y component, equals the value of f21 y plus the value f31 y plus f41 y. Okay, and I can do the same thing for f1 x, right? So this just, so now I can decompose it, and then I'll have the net f1 y and f2 y. And if I want to calculate what is f1, just the magnitude, it is the sum of the squares of the added up x and y components. Okay? And if I want to know what theta is, then I have tangent of theta is going to be f1y over, whoops, that doesn't look right, f1y over f1x. Okay? All right? So practice that if you're rusty, and if there's something that doesn't make sense, just bug me about it. It's fine. Okay? All right, we got a few more minutes. I won't finish it, but I'll do the first piece of an example calculation, and then we'll finish on Thursday. So I have a problem here where I'm going to take, I've got a charge Q1, a charge Q3, and a charge Q2. And this is x, and this is y, and I have some angle here, which is theta equals 30 degrees. Okay? Now, what I want to do, and I got my charges, Q1 is equal to minus 1 times 10 to the minus 6th coulombs, Q2 is equal to plus 3.0 times 10 to the minus 6th coulombs, and Q3 is equal to minus 2.0 times 10 to the minus 6th coulombs. All right? So those are all the information. And then the other thing is R between charge 2 and 1 is going to be 15 centimeters. And R between charges 3 and 1 is going to be 10 centimeters. All right? And what I want to know is, what is the resultant force on charge 1? Okay, I got two charges, Q2 and Q3, that are going to exert a force on charge 1. What is that net force? Okay? So let's just worry about the magnitude of F12 just today. So this magnitude is, you take Coulomb's law, and you don't have to worry about the vector form of it because we're only worried about the magnitude of F12. Okay, so I can drop the R hat and all that. And so this equals 9 times 10 to the 9 newton meters squared per coulomb squared. And then I put in the charges. Minus 1.0 times 10 to the minus 6th coulombs times positive 3.0 times 10 to the minus 6th coulombs. And the distance between them is 15 centimeters, 0.15 meters. And then I square that. Okay? And if I multiply, so I can cancel, I got coulombs and coulombs. That cancels the coulomb squared here. I'm going to get meters squared in the bottom. That's going to cancel. So my units are going to come out like they should. The units for force, newtons. And if I multiply all these numbers out, what I'm going to get is minus 1.2 newtons. Well, we'll start where we left off. We had done a problem on Tuesday where we were considering the following situation. We had three charges, Q1, Q2, and Q3. And so the y-axis is up, x-axis is horizontal, and there's an angle here, 30 degrees, of the Q1, Q3 line with respect to the vertical. Okay? 30 degrees. And then the question was, you know, what is the force on Q1? So, why don't I write down what the different charges were. We wrote this down already. Q1 is minus 1 times 10 to the minus 6 coulombs. Q2 is plus 3 times 10 to the minus 6 coulombs. That's Q2. And Q3 is minus 2.0 times 10 to the minus 6 coulombs. Okay? And then we also know that R12 is 15 centimeters, and R13 is 10 centimeters. And what we calculated at the end of lecture last time was the magnitude of F12 using Coulomb's law, and we calculated that to be minus 1.2 newtons. So I won't go through that. But we also now need to calculate the force between Q3 and Q1. Okay? So we do the same thing we did before. The absolute value, we're going to apply Coulomb's law. So the absolute value of the force between Q1 and Q3 is K, Q1, Q3 over R squared, R13 squared. And we don't need to worry about the unit vector there because we're just worried about the magnitude. Okay? Obviously, not all of this force is in the y direction or the x direction. We'll deal with that later. So we can plug in the information that we have for Q1 and Q3, and we have the distance. So we get 9 times 10 to the 9th newton meters squared per coulomb squared. That's K. And then for Q1, we put in the minus 1 times 10 to the minus 6 coulombs. And for Q3, we have the minus 2 times 10 to the minus 6 coulombs. And then the distance between them is here, the 10 centimeters, so that's 0.1 meters squared. Okay? So you're taking the parameters that you have and you plug those in. And if I just do that, now we see again the coulombs. We got two coulombs here. They cancel. The meter squared here cancels. So again, the units are going to come out to be newtons. And if you plug in all the numbers, what you get is 1.8 newtons. You got two positive signs, two negative signs here. So this is plus 1.8 newtons. Okay? So, well, we just did the same thing that we did for F12. So now we have the magnitude of the force on Q1, basically from Q3, and the magnitude from Q2, because we did that before. But we don't know what direction. And, you know, to some extent, these two things may cancel or add to each other, because this is on the other side of Q1 as this charge. So we need to actually think about things vectorially. Now the first thing that you should be doing, I mean, this you can do without really force diagrams because you can just isolate this force and that force. But to really get an idea of what the magnitude of the thing and its angle might be, you really do want to do a force diagram. So let's put Q1 here. Okay? Now, just considering the fact that Q3 is negative and Q1 is negative, and this is their orientation, what direction would I expect F13 to be in the force diagram? Would it be pointing to the upper right, the bottom left, or the upper left? Sorry? Bottom right? Yes. Okay. Now how about, what about, so this is F13. Now what about F12? What direction is that going to be? Okay. So I have Q1, all right, which is -1 × 10⁻⁶ coulombs. And Q3, which is here in the upper left, okay, is -2 × 10⁻². They're both negative, so they'll repel. So, I got to put this down. So if I have, Q1 is here and Q3 is here, they're going to push each other apart. So Q3 is going to want to go this way, but Q1 is going to want to go this way. Okay? Uh-huh. So how about F12? I need you guys to speak a little louder. I'm sorry. Okay. And the reason for that would be? Because they're attractive. Right. So Q1 is going to attract... Q2 is going to attract Q1. And so you're going to get this. It's only in the horizontal direction because these two are both on the x-axis. Okay? So, okay, just graphically, if I think about adding these two together, I'm going to get something in that way. It's going to have a magnitude bigger than both, and it's going to have an angle with respect to the x-axis somewhere in between the two. Okay? One way to actually do this is, of course I've put my symbols in the way, is you can actually take this F12 and just add it to the end of F13. Okay? This actually gives you graphically what it should look like. I don't know if that helps. Sometimes that does help people to think about it that way. All right? What does this mean? Well, first of all, we want to know what the magnitude of the force is. So we need to have what the... Let me erase... can I erase this up here, please? Just don't have a lot of real estate to deal with here. I think I'm going to have to actually project some of these slides so that you guys don't have to scramble too much. But okay, so let's consider F1x. So this is the sum of the x components of the two forces. All right? Now, F1x is going to equal F12x plus F13x. Okay? And we see that F12x does have an x component, and F13 also has an x component. Right? So what is that? What are they going to be? Well, F12 x component is just F12. There's no angle here. So we can rewrite this as F12. And then we can also write And I did something funny here. Yeah, okay. So this angle, theta prime, okay, is thinking about it here, okay, it is the complement to our original theta. Okay? So theta plus theta prime have to equal 90 degrees. So this angle here is theta prime. Okay? So what we have is the cosine of 90 degrees minus theta, which is 30 degrees. So this is really cosine of 60 degrees. Okay? And I know F12, I know F13, I just calculated them. Why don't I just write this down so you can see it? Okay. So I know all the information here, and so I can calculate this. Comes out to be 2.1 newtons. Okay. Now, there is a sign problem here. There is a sign problem here. I will correct it in the notes, but there should be a positive sign on F12, but I don't want to go back to it. Now, we also want F1y, which is going to be F12y plus F13y. Okay, so what is F12y? 0. Okay. Okay. So when you're dealing with the y here, the way that we've drawn the problem, that's going to be a sine theta. Okay. And this comes out to be 1.6 newtons. Okay. So now we have the x and the y components of these two, of this vector here, F1. And we can calculate the total magnitude of F1. So this, the total magnitude of F1 is the sum, is the square root of the sum of the square of the x component plus the square of the y component. Just essentially Pythagorean theorem. And so this comes out to be 2.6 newtons. And then we also want to know what this angle is, phi. And phi equals tangent, arctangent, sorry, okay, minus 37. So this is phi is the arctangent of minus 1.6. We have a the 1.6 is in the y. Yeah, sorry. This comes out to be a negative number because theta prime is below 0. Okay, I should have said that. So you have phi is the arctangent of minus 1.6 over 2.1, which equals minus 37 degrees. Okay. So that's one way that you can, if you're asked, you know, what is the magnitude and direction of the force? Usually this is what I'm looking for, the magnitude and the direction. Another way to write a force or any vector is in terms of the x and y or z components. And there you would have an I hat, a J hat, or a K hat, little unit vector symbols. But, okay.